Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. At the heart of the debate over bringing the Summer Olympics to Boston in 2024 is the question of whether the Games could be a launching pad for Boston's economy or a boondoggle that will cost taxpayers millions. To find some answers, today we open a series of reports looking at the last U.S. city to host the Summer Olympics.
The International Olympic Committee has awarded the 1996 Olympic Games to the city of Atlanta.
WBUR's Kurt Nickisch went to Atlanta to find out what Boston might learn from Atlanta's 1996 experience.
When you think of Atlanta, you might think of this.
The difference between chicken fried chicken and fried chicken is a flat chicken breast. They put white pepper gravy on top and it's boneless. Fried chicken has the bone in and it's a different batter. And you get the gravy on the side or on top.
At Mary Mac's Tea Room, waiter Justin Dansby says the sides include sweet potato souffle, fried green tomatoes, collard greens, and Hoppin' John. This Southern comfort hospitality, that's what Atlanta was known for, a business-friendly transportation hub set amid rolling hills far from any port or major river. It was not considered a world-class city when it was chosen to host the Olympics. Back then, Shirley Franklin was in city government helping to run the city of 3.4 million people.
So all of this housing that we're passing on the right is new and came as a result of the Olympics.
Today, she's driving me around to show how the Games changed her city. After Atlanta won the bid, Franklin joined the Olympic Organizing Group, in charge of relations with labor unions, civil rights, and community organizations.
Can you get out?
We stop in Summer Hill, a neighborhood bordering the Olympic Stadium. Along a street of single-family homes is a huge field with a track. People are jogging on it. The park was the practice field for Olympics track and field events.
I mean, in this small neighborhood of, let's say, 4,000 people, you had 1,000 vacant properties.
Besides bringing this park to the neighborhood, the Olympics brought millions of dollars. Community grants demolished some blighted homes. New mixed-income housing went up. So did basic things like streetlights. Franklin says Atlanta had always wanted to revitalize its poor neighborhoods, many of them majority black.
The Olympics was one of those periods, a five-year period, when people from all backgrounds decided that they were going to do what was right, not just to host great games, but right by the folks who lived in some of the lowest income communities.
Not every neighborhood got as much investment and came out as well as Summer Hill, but considering the skepticism in Boston toward hosting the Olympics, what Franklin says next might seem like crazy talk.
You know, I don't know anyone in Atlanta who didn't think the Olympics were good. Were they perfect? No. But I don't know anyone who thought it was bad for Atlanta.
Outside of Atlanta, people remember the 96 Olympics as the one with the bombing. But here, almost across the board, people agree the Olympics changed their city for the better. Some go so far as to say the Games transformed Atlanta, especially downtown. On hot days, and there are plenty of those here, Centennial Olympic Park downtown gets really popular.
I'm very much grateful for the fountain.
Nichelle Daniel brought her three kids to play in the Fountain of Rings in the shape of the Olympic logo. Before 96, this park was an area of rundown warehouses. $75 million of private money turned it into the centerpiece park for the Olympics, and now downtown. Daniel remembers how the Games upgraded her neighborhood, too. She didn't have sidewalks before then.
Establishing the sidewalks, then they started putting up more historical displays. So not just this, it pretty much brought up the morale of a lot of neighborhoods that contribute to the city of Atlanta that a lot of people weren't aware of.
Downtown Atlanta got its first housing development in decades. Security officers stayed there during the Olympics, and that money helped build it. Afterward, it became an apartment building.
We now have 10 times more residents living down here than we had before the Games.
That's George Hurthler, who was part of Atlanta's bid to get the 1996 Summer Games. He says city officials had always wanted more people living downtown, and the Olympics was a key turning point.
In some ways, it's the greatest engine a city can harness, because it's going to drive you toward that deadline, and you can accomplish a lot more if you've got the games and the money that is coming in from the games, the billions of dollars that the International Olympic Committee is going to invest in your city, you can accomplish a lot more with them than you possibly can without them.
Another thing Atlanta could do was brand itself globally. Tourism grew after the Games. More corporations moved their headquarters to Atlanta. Today, the city ranks ahead of Boston as home to Fortune 500 companies. Georgia State University public policy professor Harvey Newman says he expected a post-Olympic slump.
To my astonishment, the building frenzy that had started in the 6 years building up to the Games was just a prelude.
It didn't hurt that a trend of growth was giving lift to the Sun Belt region. It also didn't hurt that Atlanta's Olympics operating budget ended up in the black. The Government Accountability Office says local government paid about 10% of the direct cost of staging the Games, which totaled $2.4 billion. Other indirect spending, estimated around $2 billion, funded infrastructure and community improvements.
So we're going to go about 7 miles east of the city.
Behind the wheel of her car, Shirley Franklin says even neighborhoods at Atlanta's edge caught community development fever ahead of the Olympics. Foundations coughed up more money, so did Georgia state government. Companies encouraged their workers to volunteer in neighborhoods. Franklin says there's a lasting impact.
In Atlanta, we say, well, we did it for the Olympics. Why can't we do it for this?
Franklin should know, because 6 years after the Olympic flame was extinguished, she was elected mayor, the first African-American woman to run a major southern city. She says the Olympics made her job easier, working on all the development that followed around the Olympic Park downtown, the Georgia Aquarium, the College Football Hall of Fame, and a new museum for civil and human rights.
Had we not had the Olympics, would any of that happen? Possibly. Was it easier to do because we had the Olympics and we had this kind of history of doing things together and thinking out of the box? I'd say yes.
Still, Franklin warns that what worked for Atlanta may not work for Boston.
What we learned 20 years ago may not be exactly what you need to know today.
After all, they're different cities. It's a little bit like comparing apples and peaches. Boston's older, more congested. It already has a healthy urban center. It needs working subways, not sidewalks. So Franklin says Bostonians need to ask themselves whether the Olympics will help the city reach its goals, as much as she says the 96 Games did for Atlanta. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kurt Nikisch.